The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Conor Pope is with me now, the consumer affairs correspondent with the Irish Times, Price Watch editor as well, and co-host of the Indie News podcast. Conor, how much attention do you pay to customer reviews when you're buying something online?
It really depends, is the short answer to your question, Kieran, and not a very helpful answer.
No.
Sometimes I pay an enormous and inordinate amount of attention to the reviews, and then sometimes I don't even look at them at all. So, for instance, if I'm booking an Airbnb, right? Mm-hmm. I read all of the reviews of the potential Airbnb with great detail, and I take a huge amount of it on board. But if I'm shopping, if I'm buying a particular product online, or if I'm planning to eat in a particular restaurant or stay in a particular hotel, I take all of those reviews with a pinch of salt. Now, I think that probably makes me a bit of an outlier, because according to one study that was published recently from a company called Power Reviews, 98% of all consumers see reviews as an essential part of the decision-making process, and as many as 45% of them won't buy a product if there aren't any reviews. So it really very much depends on the product and the personality type, whether or not you pay much heed to these reviews. But the one thing that is clear is we're probably the most reviewed, and we are probably the most reviewing society of all time.
Well, that's the thing. You cannot do anything now online or even in person, it has to be said. In a lot of these shops, you have those smiley faces or sad faces you're often asked to press on the way out the door. I think they put them in sight of the cashiers a lot of the time so that people would be too embarrassed to hit one of the sad faces, and they just hit a smiley face so that they can then say in a press release, we have kind of 98% customer satisfaction rate. Yeah, see, that's because I'm a cynic.
Maybe, but you know what? I often walk past those little machines, and you see them a lot in Dublin Airport, and you see them a lot in places like that. And if I've had a good experience, I always give them the top marks, the biggest smiley face, the greenest face, whatever it might be. It's really rare, like so rare that I can't even remember ever doing it, that I would give something like that the worst possible rating or even a negative rating. Because if it's bad, you just kind of plow on through and say, forget about it. I'm not going to waste any of my time and effort hitting the bad button. But having said that, you know, a lot of people do. And a lot of people, as this one study shows, a lot of people put an awful lot of faith in it. And as you say, companies will use the good nature of people like me, and I suspect you too, who give things a positive review. They will use that to promote their businesses. And, you know, it probably is kind of harmless. Having said that, there are times when reviews can be super malicious and super harmful, particularly to restaurants, small businesses, hotels, when a malevolent or just miserable spirit will go online and give out yards about a particular company because they've displeased them. Now, I tell you, I don't know about you or your listeners, the one set of reviews that I always take with a huge, like, enormous rock of salt are TripAdvisor reviews of hotels. Because I read the one-star reviews slack-jawed at how miserable the people are. They moan about single thing. And I'm looking at it going, why on earth would you care about it? Not only why would you then go online and spend 25 minutes writing a review of this thing? Just let it go. And that tends to be my guiding principle with a lot of this stuff.
What I will do, though, sometimes is I'd be guilty of dismissing positive reviews as being some sort of spam encouraged by the company. And I'll just seek out the negative reviews to try and get a clear sense of where the misgivings people have are.
Listen, if I am looking at a hotel on TripAdvisor or something like that, or booking.com, I completely discount the good reviews. And I will look at the one-star reviews. But then you kind of, after you've read two or three of them, you realise these people are just cranks. I'm not going to take a word. unless what they're saying is, like, there are rats in the bedrooms. Like, you might take a criticism.
Conor, it's
like
never
that
rats in the bedrooms. It's that the room temperature tap water they ordered wasn't room temperature. It had ice in it. You know?
That's exactly it. Or you know, their room was a little bit too close to the water cooler in the corridor, and they didn't like the sound of footprints walking past their door. Like, so there's things like that. But I'll tell you, like, I Airbnb, as I say, I would rely a lot on the reviews on Airbnb. And the way Airbnb works, as you know, and as your listeners know, is you stay in a place, and then the person who owns the place reviews you, and you review them. And normally it's a good-natured experience. The person, the house you've stayed in or the apartment you've stayed in, they say nice things about you and you say nice things about them and it's all lovely. There was one time I stayed in an apartment complex in Portugal and it was fine. Like, it was, you know, and we gave it a fine review saying this was fine and they were mean about us.
What did they say?
I can't even remember. Like, we had a small child at the time and I think we might have made a bit of a mess in the kitchen, left some cornflakes scattered on a counter or something, but it still rankles to this day that these people were rude about me. And you can't go back in and redo your
review of
them.
Because that's because they're reviewing you as a person. That's why it rankles.
Yeah, maybe, but like, and I, like, and I was like, and I had in my head, I had this all the, this list of other things, this these grievances that I could have put into the review, but I didn't because I'm a nice person and I wanted to go back in and edit it, but you don't have that facility because it's a one time only thing. But even it's years ago.
Yeah,
it's years ago. But
it may be years ago. But Connor, say hello to Jose. He's on the line. Oh, no, I'm joking. That would be great if we'd known that in advance. We'd have tried to find him.
That would be radio gold, I tell you.
Connor, listen. Thanks a million for joining us, Connor Pope from the Irish Times. Now with me is Miriam Simon, who's the business strategist with One Foot in the Future, to talk about consumer reviews. We chatted about this earlier with Connor Pope from the Irish Times, and such was the level of response, I think we have to come back to it. Connor admitted to never actually leaving reviews himself. Miriam, do you leave reviews?
I do. Yes, absolutely.
Good and bad?
Probably more good than bad. I always think twice before I leave a bad review. I'd have to be extremely unhappy to leave a bad review. Yeah, for sure.
Do you read reviews then before you buy products online?
Absolutely. And I really believe that the reviews online are going to become more and more important as the acceleration of AI hots up. We're going to be looking for more ways to validate and to see the human side of businesses.
But how then do we know that we are reading a human review of a business in the world of AI and bots? It's so easy to populate it with these large language models with reviews that kind of sound like a person would have wrote it.
Well, there's a couple of distinctions between the way reviews are often given and also often asked for. You'll see an awful lot of product and service-based businesses now use third parties for their reviews. So they may use Google, Google reviews, or they may use TripAdvisor, etc. And there's a distinct difference between the reviews that, you know, quite often if somebody goes out of their way to give a review, it's more often negative. So usually people will go and search out a way of giving a review if they're very unhappy. But we're seeing a massive increase in businesses actually requesting reviews. So you might go to a hairdresser or to a restaurant and you'll receive a link by text asking you for feedback. And how that's done is really important. Quite often it'll be done through a third party. And if it's done skillfully, you know that those are authentic reviews. Massive boost to the business too, because it improves their SEO rankings.
Well, I was about to ask you that question. Are they asking this because they want my feedback? They want to know how to improve or what works well or what doesn't? Or are they asking because they want to be able to post positive reviews or accrue more positive reviews and bump themselves up the Google rankings?
So they're asking you for a few reasons. Number one, if you are sent a link to give a business a review, the kind of people that will click into that link are the people that are more likely to give a positive review. So the people that tend to respond to that type of solicitation of a review tend to give a more positive review. So that's the first thing. It does improve the business's digital visibility and their digital footprint. So it does improve their SEO rankings. But actually, it also really enhances their credibility and the trust factor and how authentic the business is seen by customers. And that's going to become a bigger and bigger deal in the future. Yeah, and of course, it's valuable feedback too.
When you use the word trust there, and Trustpilot jumped into my mind, that's kind of seems to be one of the more common ones you see on different service providers online. So this is the idea that they all sign up to this one platform of review that lends credibility, I guess, is it? So that we can be sure we're giving our credit card details or what have you to
Absolutely.
Somebody legitimate.
It is about credibility. It's very hard to put many reviews on a website via bots, because each one obviously has to go through an email and it has to be validated. So these third party providers actually do provide quite a lot of credibility, for sure.
Are people predisposed when they're reading reviews to seek out the negative and ignore the positive, or is that just down to personality type?
No, do you know what? We all love a bad review.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
We all love a bad review. I'll look at the top reviews, but I'll also go straight to the 1 stars to see what the problem was. I think that's human nature. But actually, from a trust point of view and from a consumer behaviour point of view, we do like to see a mixture of good and bad. And actually, what's also really important is we like to see how the business has responded to both good and bad reviews. If you're seeing a business there and they're getting lots of reviews and they don't have the courtesy to reply to them, that's very telling about the business also. So, the business of managing reviews is a time consuming one. If you're going to ask people for feedback, you have to have the manners to respond to that feedback and reply.
Miriam, thanks for your time. Miriam Simon is a business strategist with 1 foot in the future.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.